Now, let me make it clear, just before we start the discussion, that the song I'm featuring has nothing to do with the discussion. We're going to be talking about sexual misconduct, and that, of course, is nothing to rejoice about. But I tell you what, there are some good things going on in life that are worthy of rejoicing. And so I want us to have some happy music that energizes our spirits. And not just the happy music. That music is happy, too. But I like what they're saying. I like the message in that song as well. So I want us to be empowered in this holiday season. Despite anything else that's going on that may be a turnoff, I want us to still be empowered to rejoice this holiday season. And so that's going to be part of the mix. Songs like that. Songs that pick us up. All right. So taking a look at what's facing us and what we're facing. One of those issues being sexual misconduct in America. Can we reduce it? One of the things that I propose is that sex-related social problems involves a lot of complexity because it comes from so many different directions. It comes for so many different reasons. I'm not saying that anything justifies it. That's not what I'm saying. I'm simply saying we need to be aware of the fact that this is a multifaceted problem. All right, so here we go. We talked about sexualizing and we talked about objectifying. So very briefly, when we're talking about sexually objectifying someone, we're talking about looking at someone's body parts and focusing on their body parts in such a way as to see them as a sex object. We objectify that person. Very often when this is brought up, females are the ones who are basically described as being the victims, being on the receiving end of this sexual objectification. And there's no doubt that many times, females are seen as sex objects. But check this out now. I told you this is a multifaceted problem that involves quite a bit of complexity. Think about the age in which we live, where there's more openness about where a person is coming from. For years and years, it just wasn't made that clear that this was going on. But look, females are objectified sexually, not only by males, but by the females also. Yes, there are plenty of females who really enjoy looking at the curves of other women's breasts, looking at the curves of other women's hips, looking at the curves of other women's genitalia, looking at the curves of other women's thighs. And let me tell you something. Just because it's females who are focusing on the female body parts, that doesn't negate the fact that it is still sexual objectification. You have males who focus on the body parts of other males. You have females who focus on the body parts of males. And that is nothing new. That's been going on for ages. There are plenty of women who like to follow closely the curves of men's chests and genitals and hips and thighs. There are females. In fact, you talk with some women and they'll let you know that women size men up much more thoroughly. I'm talking about from a sexual objectification perspective, size men up much more thoroughly than men size women up. This is a multifaceted problem, this sexual misconduct thing. Sexualization we talked about. We talked about sexual harassment. We mentioned that it is always wrong. There's never any excuse for it. sexualizing and sexually objectification? Is it perpetrated only by men? I asked a little earlier if we even need to consider the issue of ways that people can be provoked to think along sexual lines. Now, of course, we have the obvious. A woman is interested in a man sexually, whether they're married or not. And when I say whether they're married or not, I mean whether the woman is married or not, whether the man is married or not. Whether he's single, whether she's single, doesn't matter to a lot of people. So to some people, it does matter. To some people, the sexual interest is there, but once they learn that that person is married, they cut the sexual interest off. That's admirable that they will even at least take it to that level. I'm willing to have sex with this person even though we're not married. But if that other person that I'm interested in is married, okay, I'm not willing to violate their or have them violate their marriage vows. Sexual interest is gone now. That's still admirable. The man sees this woman and finds her sexually attractive. Because here's the thing now. I've shared this before. You can see someone who is physically attractive, and it can go that far and no further. Just because you acknowledge within yourself that a person is physically attractive, that doesn't necessarily mean you also find that person sexually attractive. I mean, there are plenty of heterosexual men who are impressed by the physical appearance of other men. There are plenty of heterosexual women who are impressed by the physical appearance of other women. And they have absolutely no sexual interest in those people whatsoever. None. Zero. Nine. Nada. I'm saying that because I don't want us to be beating ourselves up unnecessarily. In fact, probably a good idea not to beat ourselves up, period. Just acknowledge when we've messed up, ask for help in recovering, and move forward. But don't be thinking that we're wrong, we're doing something wrong, we're thinking wrong, just because we acknowledge that someone, whether of the same sex or the opposite sex, is physically attractive. That's not the issue. That's not the problem. The problem comes in where we decide, hey, not only does that person look good physically, but that person looks good sexually. I think it would be great to have sex with that person. And we start imagining in our minds, we start running a video of an activity that never occurred. We start imagining in our minds having sex with that person. See, now we have sexually objectified that person. Just to see the person as being physically attractive is not a problem. It's when we decide that the person is also sexually attractive that we've already begun to step off into sexual misconduct in our minds. And here's the thing. When you look at it from that perspective, you begin to realize that sexual misconduct can take place subtly. How people dress. People can dress very, very provocatively. And people often do dress very, very provocatively. A man can wear pants that are tight, hug the genitals, show that. You don't see that very often, but it can be done. Sexually provocative. They're in prison, and men, from what we understand, wear their pants very, very low on their hips because they're being sexually provocative. The word is that they wear them low like that because they're sending out a message, I'm available. And they're sending that message out to other men because men are in prison with other men, just like women are in prison with other women. How about when the blouse is cut very, very low so that it reveals a lot of cleavage? How about when the dress or the skirt really, really, really hugs the body tight so that the curves are very, very noticeable? Subtle ways of sending out sexual signals. That in and of itself could be considered sexual misconduct because of the purpose of wearing the clothes that are revealing. The purpose of wearing the clothes that are revealing. And don't kid ourselves. Come on now. People are intelligent. And people understand that they have reasons for trying on this shirt or this skirt or this dress or these pants and noticing that they fit very, very tight and follow the curves very, very closely and reveal a lot of the shape of the body. People have reasons for wanting to buy the clothes once they confirm that they fit that way. Let's just be honest now. Real talk about real life. Real talk about the real world. In the real world, people have reasons for buying the clothes that fit that way. I'm not talking right now about the person who bought a bunch of dresses, pants, you name it, clothes, and they really, really fit appropriately when they bought them. Some kind of way, though, as time went on, their bodies got bigger. Their bodies expanded a bit more, and what once fit, not loosely, but fit well. You just couldn't see many, if any, curves. Now begins to reveal a whole lot of curves because it became, over time, too tight, too small because of changes that the body has gone through. I'm not talking about that. That needs to be dealt with too, but I'm talking about when the person goes to the store, tries on the stuff in the dressing room, and makes sure that it fits tight. There's a reason for that.